Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/Android. Hello, welcome to All About Android, episode 370, recorded on Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
What's up?
I almost said my middle name for some reason.
Yeah, it's almost like you forgot temporarily your last name.
Florence Michelle Ion. Anyways, hi.
Hi, how's it going, Flo? And how are you doing, Ron?
I'm doing well.
Fantastic. We should welcome to the show. Actually, first time visitor to the show. We have not had Michelle Rahman on. Michelle is the editor-in-chief at XDA Developers. Welcome to the show, man.
Great to be here. My colleague Steven has been on a few times from what I hear, and he's been pretty successful winning the app contest that you guys have. So we'll see if we can continue the tradition.
So basically, you've got big shoes to fill, essentially.
Definitely.
If he shows you up, if you bring an app and it doesn't follow in his footsteps, is he going to like hold that over you for years on end?
I'll be pretty disappointed if our app doesn't win this time, because we have a pretty successful showing so far.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll definitely dive into that a little bit later. Michelle, how long have you been editor-in-chief at XDA? We're obviously big fans. We source your articles and the news that we talk about on the show quite frequently. What's your experience been with XDA?
So I've been a news writer since late 2015. Then I became a managing editor in the beginning of 2017. And then after CES this year, I became editor-in-chief. So pretty quick, you know, rise through the ranks. Our previous editor-in-chief has kind of like taken a step back because of a full-time with the school. So I've kind of filled in the gap. We've both been kind of co-running the website for a while now. So it's not like I just had to accept a whole bunch of extra responsibility all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. So kind of just naturally transitioned over the past couple of months.
Right on. Well, we're big fans of the show, of the site, and the content that you guys put together. And, yes. Of course, met you for the first time at Google I.O. this year. So that was awesome. Had you been to Google I.O. in years previous, or was this your first time?
Nope, this was my first time at Google I.O. It was definitely great to be there, finally.
Right on. Cool. Well, it's great to have you here. We have a lot to talk about, as we usually do on this show, and I hope that you realize I forgot to give you the heads up, Victor, that I put things a little bit out of order. But this week we're going to be discussing the OnePlus 6, which is now officially a thing. I'm going to go do a little bit of a hands-on there ahead of a review that's coming up this weekend. The Red Hydrogen 1, which apparently some people were invited down to LA to check out. That sounds like fun.
It does. It does. It's like immense fun.
Android P has some enterprise updates, and that's maybe a little bit more exciting than that may sound on its surface. A rumored a Google AR headset, because of course they are. YouTube Music's new rollout. We finally have some real details there. Your emails and a whole lot more. Victor, you're going to get your news opportunity a little bit later, but right now we're going to jump into some hardware. As I was putting things together this morning, I realized in episodes past, so often the thing that's maybe the highlight of the show is like still in the middle of the episode, because
like
we always start with the news.
Yes.
And when news is light, it kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense to start with news.
That's a fair point.
I don't know.
Sometimes you got to be flexible with the format.
Yeah, I guess.
And this
so.
Week we have a big. I mean, we have an actual big thing to yeah. discuss.
Well, yeah. So this
it's a
is
big
the,
deal.
This is the OnePlus 6, and shortly after last week's show, as all companies like to plan their major events after the show, they do it on purpose. The OnePlus 6 was announced, and I got it. And it's really nice looking. Look at that. It's
ooh,
got a glass back
shiny.
This time.
You got to do that
shiny.
Glare because it's black and it's so black.
Yeah.
That it's hard to see like the differentiation in shape.
Yes. It's none more black than this. And if you can name that movie, you win. So the OnePlus 6, all glass design this time. As you see, this is, does not, however, mean wireless charging. OnePlus is very good at packing in features on their devices for, you know, like a high feature set, low price compared to the competition. They're great at that. And so, but you have to understand that when you're talking about the price category here, which this is right around, what is it, like 500 and where is it? The link is covering my screen.
529 for a 6 gigs of RAM with 64 gigs of storage and 629 for 8 gigs of RAM with 256 gigs of storage, which, as far as I know, is the highest
is a lot.
That you can get at that price range. I mean, yeah. You're not getting a Pixel
right.
2 at that price.
Right. Yes. I mean, you're getting a lot for the money here, and you're not paying, you know, the Pixel price. You're not paying the Samsung Galaxy S9 price or anything like that. But you do have to sacrifice some features. So wireless charging, not on here. Personally, I've just not fallen into the wireless charging mandatory group. I don't know. Michelle, are you a diehard wireless charging fan?
Not really. I mean, there's kind of a reason why there was such a hype around it around like the Nexus 4 era. And then all of a sudden, Android phones just stopped having it. And then what do you know? After the iPhone, now everyone's starting to bring it back.
Strange how that works, isn't it? It really seemed like wireless charging was a big deal. And then the whole fast charging movement came along.
I totally forgot about it until you brought it up today, by the way.
Yeah,
completely forgot about fast charging being like a thing that you want.
Now, on OnePlus's phones, they have their own special type of fast charging. It's called dash charging, which does require a certain type of charger. It's still USB-C. But like today, for example, I had this plugged into, you know, just my standard USB-C at home while I was working on the rundown, and it wasn't fast charging in any sense. So that's kind of a downside. You have to follow OnePlus's specific specification for that, which is kind of a bummer. But I will say that I'm deathly afraid of dropping this because it's a full glass body and it's pretty, you know, it's kind of got a slipperiness to it, as you would imagine from a glass body.
It looks like it has a Moto X4 feel to it little bit. Just kind of like that curved, that sort of, I don't know how to say
kinda
that, domed
drippy.
Back. The domed back to kind of like make it feel ergonomic so it kind of like rests nicely. Yeah. Just like the way the edges are sort of pointy but not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. I would say this looks more familiar than unique.
Yeah, agreed.
Sure. Yes, but familiar amongst kind of the more premium handsets. You know what I mean? Like it really does feel that way. Actually, in some ways, it kind of reminds me of the Note 8 from the back.
Yeah.
The way that it's curved, and especially also how tall it is. That's another, you know, differentiation that's happening here. The 6.3-inch 19:9 aspect range
ratio. This is the biggest display OnePlus has ever had, no?
Yeah. Yeah. And I forgot to bring the 5 in here to compare it against. But I mean, you notice a huge difference in the bezels between the 5 and then the 6 here. You'll also notice up here that I have a normal black bar, but there is actually a notch. I don't know if I can get it to stand out.
Oh, I
like
see
that.
It.
It's just they give you software features to block it off if you like. And actually, the notch hasn't been bothered. The notch doesn't bother me at all. I just turned it on because I wanted to, you know,
that's
have it like
nice.
That way for a couple of days. So
that's a nice little feature.
Totally. Because, I mean, when it's like this,
for
you
kind of
forget.
For a power user especially.
Yeah. The only thing that it really means is that you won't get any notification content up in that, you know, center area, even if it's blocked off.
How much
off.
Is that, a centimeter?
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I haven't found it to be any issue. Now, Michelle, I know that you kind of wrote about this a little bit when the announcement happened. They also announced the Bullets wireless headphones, which I haven't had to try yet. But are you able to kind of play around with the device, or what are the folks at XDA that are working on this? What are they saying about the device and the time that they've had it?
So the two biggest areas that OnePlus has been marketing the 6 in are performance and the camera experience.
Yeah.
So what we've seen is that performance, you know, it comes with the latest Qualcomm Snapdragon 845 chip. So obviously it's going to be, you know, among the fastest smartphones on the market just because of that. They've also announced some like software optimizations that they've done on the device during the keynote. We're hoping to go into more depth into exactly what they did. But we did some testing, or to be more specific, Mario did some testing, like real world gaming performance, smoothness, frame rate testing through the UI, etc. And what he found is that, you know, it's certainly a smooth device, but, you know, when you compare it still to the Google Pixel 2, it's just the software optimization on the Pixel 2 just is still unbeatable. It's actually incredible how much optimization they've done. And, you know, even if you just pack the latest hardware, it's not going to be 100% not dropping frames, you know, unless you actually optimize the software with it. And certainly OnePlus has done a great job at, you know, optimizing their software for the Snapdragon 845. It's not like it's slow. It's certainly like faster than almost every other phone on the market. But it's just like, once you've tried the Pixel, it's really hard to compare.
Right.
Word.
But I wouldn't say it's like, okay, if you're getting a slower device, if you're getting the OnePlus 6, you're certainly getting cheated out of performance. It's not like that. It's just, you know, there's still a little bit of optimization they can do to reach that kind of, you know, absolutely butter smooth performance.
Sure.
There's an experience you're missing out on. A certain experience, a certain Google experience.
Well, and sometimes the speed, like the reaction time, you know, all those things that in and of itself might not seem like a really big deal. Maybe it's this very small amount of milliseconds difference between the two, but over time in aggregate, it kind of adds up, and you detect that things are just a little bit choppier, a little bit slower, and that sort of stuff. And I imagine that's where, you know, Google having, you know, more money than OnePlus, at least at this stage in their existence, could even possibly imagine having. They have the resources to invest in that optimization that you're talking about. And I mean, they are also on different, you know, playing in different categories. The Pixel is absolutely, by all accounts, a premium smartphone. This is kind of still in that mid-range, even though it's packing a lot of the same, you know, similar features, like the really nice Snapdragon 845 processor in there. 8 gigs of RAM is a lot of RAM for a phone. I don't know if you're getting any more than that.
Mid-range power user?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of, you know, mid-range? Because it's not mid-range.
A light high-end user, or I don't know.
It's like a really souped-up Honda Civic Si.
It's like people who were raised like lower upper middle class.
Sure.
That's a spectrum, depending on the state you grew up in.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll give you that one. 3,300 milliamp hour battery, which I found to be pretty solid so far. I've actually seen a lot of people saying that they're pretty impressed with the battery life.
It's better than what's in the Pixel 2.
They did move the notification switch to the right-hand side of the screen, which I keep pushing as if it were a power button, you know? When it was over here, I kept pushing it because I thought it was the volume. And over here, you just can't win with that extra switch because we're not used to that extra switch being in any phone other than the OnePlus devices. But the camera, yeah, I only included a couple of picture photo samples that I've taken over the past few days. There should be a link there for that, Victor. And I mean, so far I've been very impressed. You know, sharp images, good color replication. You can zoom in on the images and get some, you know, nice detail when you go in there with the little distortion showing up. Overall, they did a lot to improve this camera. They made the sensor, you know, a larger sensor. They are adorable. Sorry, they're mine. And, you know, they've got the dual cameras on the back, which are now in a vertical array instead of a horizontal array the way they were before. And really nice bokeh effects, which I'm going to play around with a little bit more ahead of my review. So overall, though, so far I'm really, really very impressed. And I feel like every year OnePlus comes out with a flagship phone and they wow you, especially for the price. You know what I mean? The price keeps kind of going up a little bit and incrementally, but I feel like they justify that. And it's still nowhere near the expensive category.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make is that, yeah, I mean, it's still expensive. By no means is $529 or $629 cheap, but compared to the other flagships, it is the most affordable flagship of them all, which is the OnePlus motto, right?
Yep.
It just how sweet would it be if they just knock it down $30 and make it $499.
I know. Cracking that little
to make it sub five.
Line.
Yeah, sub make it sub five. That would be amazing. So.
But yeah, so far so good. They are certified for AT&T and T-Mobile with this phone, although I've heard, and Michelle, maybe you can confirm on this one, that there are the Verizon bands in there. I just don't know if they're activated or something.
I've heard that it won't work on Sprint and Verizon. Or at least that's what I've heard. I mean, I don't think anyone's actually tried to call up Sprint and Verizon and try to activate it on their networks.
Right, right. Yeah, it's definitely not validated for them. And then you may remember back at Google I.O., a number of third-party phones are beta for Android P, beta capable, and this is one of them. So the instructions are out already. It requires a manual flash, but you can do it right now if you have this phone, which you can get. It's available starting today. Like we said, $529 starting, $629 if you want to go big on the storage and memory options. I'm going to do a full review of this. It's going to be on the new Screensavers this weekend. So if you want to hear my expanded thoughts, that's where I stand right now. But if you want to hear the expanded thoughts, you can check it out on Screensavers this weekend. And that'll be that. Any final thoughts? Are you guys impressed by it? Like, did OnePlus do a good job following up?
I haven't had a chance to use it yet, so I'm waiting. I'm going to wait.
She's plotting. That's what it looks like.
I don't know if you, I don't know if you guys have tried any of the other models, but the one you're holding, the mirror black one, I can definitely see like a lot of smudges and fingerprints on it.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, it looks really great. And if you guys have the chance to ever get your hands on the midnight black one, that one, I know on stage, Carl Pei kind of did like a marketing kind of talk where he talked about, oh, people don't even realize it's glass. But legitimately, TK, who's our one of our video producers, he felt it and he could not tell that it was glass at first because the matte finish on that one is really well done. So if you don't want the fingerprint magnet and you want kind of like the matte finish, you know, the midnight black one is definitely a good fit for that.
That's interesting. Because when I see the matte finish one, I mean, it doesn't, even in photos, it doesn't look at all like it's glass. I actually had to like check a couple of sources just to be sure, like they are all in fact glass. Cause I was like, well, maybe they're doing one that's kind of their standard, you know, backing that they've done in the past, but no, it just kind of looks like it. It's still glass.
I don't know what it is about that plastic with the fingerprints. Like the more money you spend on the phone, they're like, yeah, make it so you can see their fingerprints. Like, it's, don't understand. Those things don't add up in my
mind. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Somebody's got to come up with a fingerprint repellent glass surface.
It should.
That isn't tacky, you know.
Yeah. Well, maybe it might be Xiaomi.
Oh, it could
comes
be
up with the fingerprint no back. Who knows? But because we'll find out though on May 31st when Xiaomi unveils the Mi 8 flagship phone, which is being dubbed the Mi 8 Anniversary Edition, and it's actually the 8th anniversary of Xiaomi. Not of the Mi phone itself, but rather just Xiaomi as the brand. And so the Mi 8 is expected to have an in-display fingerprint sensor, which we've heard a lot of rumors about that, and that's going to be pretty exciting. Also a 3D facial recognition system. And the other rumors are that it's going to be a 6.01-inch edge-to-edge OLED running Snapdragon 845 and a 4,000 milliamp battery. So just, you know, we're just 9 days away from the Mi 8. Not 8 days, 9 days away from the Mi 8. So, you know, it's always always fun to see what Xiaomi comes up with the with these new phones. I think the in-display fingerprint sensor is the way of the future because I want the bezel-less phone. So,
yeah, I'm very curious to see how, you know, and what companies really get on board with the under glass fingerprint sensor too, because even if facial recognition continues to be a thing, which it does, There's so much benefit to just going and being done instead of the kind of unexpected issues that arise with facial recognition. So I'm looking forward to that as well. Sounds good. And then Flo, I'm curious about this one because we all want a little 3D screen in our life, right?
Do we? This is 4D. Do you want 4D screen in your life? Because that is what the red hydrogen one kind of is, basically. So there was this event in LA where a bunch of press went down to see the Hydrogen One phone which has a very unique holographic display. Now it doesn't photograph very well, but there are photographs out there floating on the web of what it looks like. So this is a phone with a 5.7-inch, quote-unquote, 4-view or 4V holographic mode display. Red will be releasing exclusive network of channel with 4V content, including movies, music, games. This is really for, like, the content. The person who just really wants to eat up all that content, all that immersive content. Apparently, it's hard for anybody to really know what it looks like because, again, it doesn't photograph very well. So while the phone certainly looks like a cool phone, as we kind of see in these pictures, I mean, this definitely doesn't look like the OnePlus 6, which we were of its own design.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything. And by the way, no one at this event was allowed to shoot the front of the thing, which from what I understand from people that were there, I mean, a part must have been the fact that, like, because of the technology in and of itself, like, it just doesn't replicate well. And they're probably also trying to generate buzz.
That's too much control. I'm sorry. Yeah. Over, like, that's way too much control over something. Come on. Like, you got to let people see what this 4D thing is. So apparently, this phone also facilitates holographic live chats. But two cameras are required to do the effect. So if you don't got it, you can't flaunt it. There's Dieter Bohn of The Verge. Inside, it's got a Snapdragon 835 processor, 4,500 milliamp battery, a headphone jack, which is a thing being taken away from other phones, Pogo pins for modular connectivity, so that modular idea is kind of there. It's meant to be one piece of a quote-unquote future multidimensional media system. So I don't know if that sounds familiar.
Well, but that's the whole red thing. Like the whole red system is modular, right?
Right.
So this is the phone module aspect of it. This is bananas. I can't wait to get my hands on this thing.
Well, you will have to have Verizon or AT&T if you want to get your hands on this thing, because that's where the Hydrogen One will be available. It's $1,195. That's $1,195 US dollars to pre-order for the aluminum version, and $1,595, that's $1,595 to pre-order the titanium. It'll be available later this year. So if you've got a lot of money to blow and you are in this red ecosystem and you really want to do this thing, here's your chance.
Dang.
Here's your chance. 4D video chat.
Yeah, 4D as a thing.
Come on.
So what do you guys think? I mean, you guys tend to, at XDA, you tend to look at, you know, hardware a little bit differently than, I would say, a lot of publications. You know, a lot of publications, and I would say this show included, we focus on, like, specs or whatever. You guys kind of dig in there and break it apart and seem to spend time, you know, figuring out why something is important or why it's successful. Are you curious to get in there on the display technology that's happening here? Because it really does sound like it's absolutely unique. At least they want us to believe that it's something we've never seen before. And some of the reporters that were there say, yeah, I've never seen this before. What do you think?
So I'm always a little skeptical of these truly ambitious, ridiculous concept phones that are coming out. Mostly because, you know, if you actually want a really good day-to-day experience on the phone, you need really decent software support for it.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that's being shown, and obviously they're not showing us everything because they're not allowed to take proper videos and photos of the device, you know, it seems like it's going to be having a really hard time convincing app developers to create apps for it. I mean, I don't know exactly what kind of apps are going to be available for it and exactly what you're going to be able to do for it. Like, they're going to have some sponsored content available. They're going to have working with certain app developers, certain content providers to, you know, produce like media, certain media that's compatible for it. But once it's out there and once you've experienced all of that, you know, initial burst of content, what are you going to do with it? How long are you going to keep using this phone? Like, is it going to, are you still going to keep seeing this 4D content come out a year after release? You know, if other phone manufacturers don't start adding this kind of technology, I seriously doubt this phone will have any kind of longevity.
Especially when you're considering the price of the phone, right? Like, if the thing that creates support around something, you know, if what you need is a healthy ecosystem, the way to not do that is to price your phone more expensive than every other phone out on the market, you know, aside from those like supreme luxury phones that, you know, you never see anyone owning.
Yeah, but at least those are like luxury versions of phones that already exist. They're not just like the phone is a piece of luxury. Mm-hmm. I mean, I kind of get what this is supposed to be used for, but it just feels like with all this content, if I've learned anything in this business, it's content is not always a bringer of users.
Right. Content in and of itself.
Okay.
Maybe, but I can understand from the perspective of, you know, the people who are using the Red camera hardware, if they make some sort of a compelling case that this phone works in tandem with that camera hardware, and you know, and that in and of itself is a good enough reason for you to have it because maybe it expands your capabilities with their cameras in some way, then I guess I kind of get it. But I completely agree. It's a big gamble, I feel like, or maybe it's not a gamble. Maybe they know that it's more of an experiment than anything else. I don't know. This doesn't scream to me publicly, you know, the public is clamoring for it, but maybe that's not their point. Maybe that's not their goal. I don't know.
I don't think that is their goal at all. I don't think this is a public facing phone. I think this is a very specific type of person who wants this phone.
Sure.
So
$1,195 pre-order for the aluminum. $1,595 pre-order for titanium. That's later this year. That'll be available. Interesting. I'm very curious to see it though. But it also kind of reminds me of the Fire Phone, and that right there is a horrible comparison.
And that had Amazon behind it, and look how that went.
Horrible. About as bad as it could possibly go. That's how it went. So we'll see where that leads. We have some emails this week. This first one is from Brett, who says, I'm a service technician in the heating and cooling industry, and I'm often on my own. Since I don't care for music, I'm a heavy podcast listener. I have several podcasts that I want to hear and a few throwaways like morning radio shows that I use for filler. Beyond Pod's Smart Play feature makes this simple to hear the podcasts I want before the ones I don't care as much about. That alone makes Beyond Pod better than any other media player. What am I missing here? Brett asks.
That's pretty cool. That's a very cool function.
I didn't know about this.
Yeah, it's kind of a smart playlist feature. I mean, it seems like, you know, Pocket Cast is the one that we talk about a lot. It has some smart playlist features, but I'm guessing that they don't operate in the same way that this one does.
I usually have to manually like pick what I want to listen to. I can't just like, I have to go in. I have to read my thing about podcasts is like, I have to read the episode summary and see if I'm really interested in the episode that week. Mm-hmm. 'Cause sometimes like I don't care about the topic. Mm-hmm. So what am I going to do? And that's why I always feel like an algorithm, if somebody found an algorithm that works for them with podcasting, that's awesome. But I always feel like for everybody that might be a tricky thing because it's like, there's so many variables that come into play with podcasts, you know, it's not like music. 'Cause once you record music, it doesn't change, you know?
Yeah.
Versus a podcast episode. Like next week, we could just talk about who knows what.
But there are podcasts out there that we all listen to that we're like, okay, no question. Well, at least for
like
me,
news
I can
podcast.
Say where I'm like, I'm guaranteed going to listen to every episode that they put out.
Yeah.
All About Android.
Yes.
Just throwing that out there.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
says Victor, our technical director. Good. Thank you. Yeah.
That's
so
a good tip.
Yeah, it is a good tip. And that's definitely a feature that makes Beyond Pod something worth checking into, because I imagine that would be helpful for a lot of people. Michelle, what is your podcast app of choice and why? What do you look for in a good podcatcher?
What I look for mostly is a pretty decent design, because I like to, you know, quickly open up the podcast app and maybe skip a few seconds whenever it's, you know, whenever I'm trying to rush through and get to the end of a podcast, or I'm trying to like fast forward quickly. I need something to quickly go through like the rest of the podcast. Mm-hmm. I like podcasts that have a lot of experience, that have a lot of features that let me download podcasts for later listening rather than streaming. Pretty much, I'm not really like a huge podcast listener, at least not as much as I used to be. Kind of like Freakonomics, Planet Money, and Reply All, or All About Android, of course. So, yeah, I haven't really gone through the variety of podcast apps on the Play Store. I know people will argue day and night about which podcast app is the best, just like everyone argues about which Reddit app is the best.
Yeah, totally. There are a lot of different ones. That's kind of the beauty of it, is that there's usually one that you can find. I remember back in the day, Dogcatcher was my pick.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it was my pick only because it was so incredibly complicated and feature full, like jam-packed with features. And most of them that I never used, but I like the fact that they were there.
At least
there.
I have them.
Yeah, at
okay.
least they're there.
You don't have these.
If and when I decide I'm going to use them, and I never really did. And the design was really not that great. I know some of you Dogcatcher fans are going to start emailing me. I can hear you already typing.
Okay, to be fair, back then, a lot of designs were not very great on Android, and we just kind of swallowed it and moved on, and we're still
here.
True.
We just dealt
you're
with
just,
it.
Okay. You're just happy you could do it. You're happy you could listen to your podcast. That's
we
all you needed.
We were all there. We all suffered.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Dogcatcher could be one of the first apps that I ended up paying for to get the full version.
I remember. I paid for it. I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was not an inexpensive app to buy. I think I remember it was $6.99.
God, that's a lot.
At the time,
that's
it was
a lot.
Now.
Yeah.
Anyways.
$1.99 or bust, baby.
Not always. There's apps that...
JK, support your devs.
All right, let's take a break. Thank the sponsor of this episode, and then we'll give Victor a chance to shine with the news drop. But first, this episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. There are five things that business owners can count on from LegalZoom. If you're a business owner, listen up. Number one, reliability. Over 2 million people have used LegalZoom to start their businesses. LLCs, S-Corps, nonprofits, DBAs, and more use LegalZoom to get started right away. Number two, experience. They've been helping all types of business owners for 17 years and counting. You can count on LegalZoom to help with all the details. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready for your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but they have a network of independent attorneys licensed in all 50 states. They can actually review contracts, help with employment laws, and advise you on many of the hurdles that pop up when you're running a business. Number five, no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing, customer reviews, and a satisfaction guarantee. So check out LegalZoom today to see how they can make life better for you and your business. Go to LegalZoom.com and get special savings when you enter promo code AAA in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com. Enter promo code AAA for special savings. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. And now it's time for the news.
If I had a red phone, you know I'd be using it to subscribe to Android News.
Oh, and I hear that.
And to film it too.
Yeah, you'd set up a bunch of red phones in the studio, and we'd replace these cameras with red phones.
Heck yeah.
Obviously, That's a really good idea, actually.
It's 4D.
Like, yeah, I know. It's in like 4D. We're there.
Come on. Yeah, it's like not only are we there, but we can go back in time.
See, you guys get me.
Yeah. Yeah, feeling ya. All right, so Flo, you got the top news story of the week. We're waiting because this is huge.
It is huge. Is it? It's a big deal because we have to really look at the fact that Google's really been making a play for the enterprise in couple of years. They really want to be seen as a very serious player in the smart game. I mean, you've got your Microsofts and you've got your whatever other big deals in the world doing this stuff. I don't know. I don't work in that world, but some people do, and they're going to want to hear this news. Which is that Android P is going to have some specially made enterprise featurettes. So Google kind of did a blog post, as it usually does, highlighting some of the features in Android P that are bringing improvements for enterprise applications. So there's going to be a work profile toggles to shut off the work stuff when you are away from the job, which I could have sworn is something that we've been talking about for like many, many versions of Android by now.
They've had a work profile, but it seems like this easy like toggle to just like, you know what, hide my work stuff from me because right now is not work time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which, of course, falls in line with that whole well-being.
Yes, that's true.
So work apps and personal apps are separated inside the app drawer. So business in the front, party in the back, just like a mullet, though they're not back in style. That's not what we're saying.
Don't give them the rock.
Developers can also add support for users switching between their business profile and personal profiles within an app, which is nice and healthy for people to have that nice distinction. Support for shared devices. So like shift workers can sign in, you know, if you're working someplace that does shipping and receiving and other reasons you might need phones around. Improved kiosk mode. It doesn't lock to a single app. It can lock multiple apps and switch between them in a dedicated launcher for the task, which is nice and useful. I'm imagining this works like Android Auto, which kind of like front loads and then kind of puts everything in the background. Right. And then, you know, of course, a number of new security APIs. Because what is an enterprise a piece of enterprise software without any security added to it? And as we all know, the one thing that Android gets a really bad rap for in this world is its security.
There should always be improvements to security APIs. Yes. That should just kind of always be there.
Of course. Of course.
I think that's a really good point that you mentioned, and it's certainly something that I hadn't connected when I was reading through this, is this overall kind of idea of
Google One.
Kind of opening up your... you know, improving your quality of life or whatever, and building this into the OS for enterprise features, you know, allowing people to kind of decide that, hey, now's the time to shut off. I don't know. Kind of, it makes it okay. It makes it more okay, but I'm sure there are places that will want that still.
Or just do what I did and don't put any of that stuff on your phone, and then you never know if anybody needs you unless you're at a computer.
Michelle, what did you think from I.O. with...
I want to hear about the work-life balance at xdadevelopers.com. That's what I want to hear from you.
Okay, Ron asked. No, but at Google I.O., they announced a lot of these kind of like life-improving updates to Android P. What were your thoughts on that? Some people were saying, hey, you know, Google, you know, you shouldn't have to... like that you shouldn't have to go there, but others, myself included, were saying, hey, I like that they at least give you the option to do that. What were your thoughts?
So I know a lot of people are probably going to say you should take personal responsibility for your own phone use habits, but I know definitely a lot of people, myself included, have trouble putting their phones down, especially at night. It's so tempting to just pick it up and just, you know, browse the internet, watch a few videos. And then 10 minutes turns into 30 minutes, 30 minutes turns into an hour, and it just spirals out of control. So I definitely think something on the OS level would be really helpful, especially because the existing apps that help you do this on the Play Store, they're definitely not using APIs that are very battery friendly or performance friendly.
You mean Twilight?
You don't know what they're logging.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, so it's definitely helpful for Google to include this kind of feature natively in Android, so you don't have to rely on these apps anymore. If you don't like it, you don't have to use these features. You certainly don't have to enable all the digital wellness stuff. You can just turn it off and ignore it.
Absolutely.
But if you need it and you want to use it to help you control your smartphone addiction, then it's there for you.
Completely agree. Yes. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice that they're putting it in. I
need mine
the
for the
way.
Morning. I need mine to be like, did you do anything besides just wake up and grab your phone? Like, have you done anything besides grab me?
I mean, like, you're cool and all.
You're
but,
cool and all,
you know,
but
don't
like,
you have something
it's
else?
7:30. Why are you on Twitter first thing in the morning?
Oh, Flo.
I know
don't
we talked
do that.
About this at
don't
Google
do that.
Yes. We already talked about this, and I'm working on it.
That's the best thing. I mean, my wife preaches this, but the best thing ever is not having the phone be the last thing you look at and the first thing you look at is
I'm in,
or,
I'm
is
in a marriage
very bad
with
habit.
My phone.
So this is what you got. This husband. Is what you got to do. This is real simple, real life hack. You don't need the OS to do this. There was a time when I was stuck on snoozing all the time. I wasn't waking up my alarm clock. So you know what I did? I moved the alarm clock across the room. So to turn it off, I'd have to get up and walk across and turn the alarm clock off. By the time I got back to bed, I was awake. And I think you just got to start putting the phone in another room. Just physically put it in another room.
And then use the Google Home to wake up. Which, by the way, ask it to wake you up to classical music. It's very nice.
Oh, and by the way, I do this every morning now. We're so off topic now. Every morning now,
talk
I do
wellness.
This. To,
we're not off topic.
That's true. That's true. Every morning now at 7 o'clock is when my kids are supposed to get up. And now I say, hey, G, it's time to wake up. And it will go, it will say, okay, I'm alerting everyone. And it will like do this, like this rooster to go cock-a-doodle-doo. Morning, it's time to wake up in every single room.
That is so
that's amazing.
Cute.
It's awesome. And it totally works. Like the kids listen for it now. And then you can say announce and then say whatever you want and it'll announce
or
it in. So then I'll follow up with it and be like, no, seriously, I'm cooking bacon down here. Get down here now. And and then they come run down. So it works.
Now, does it say it in the assistant voice, or does it replay your voice?
If you go off script, it replays your voice. It's a recording of you talking.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Anyways, all right, we're back on track
for your Google Home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you never know when a
Google
tip
assistant.
Is going to jump out at you. All right, Ron, you got the next one.
All right, so one of my finest moments in my life on this show was my reaction to Google Glass, which many people could argue Google's first foray into augmented reality. we might have another moment coming up because now that Google has its standalone VR plan to market with Daydream and all that stuff, is working on an AR headset, according to a report from WinFuture. It's codenamed A65, and they're partnering with Quanta, who manufactured the Pixel C in the past. And it's going to be something along the lines of the Microsoft HoloLens, which, as far as I can tell, is a helmet with a little visor that goes around and gives you the augmented reality kind of view. It's got cameras, sensors, microphones, and it's still a ways out. So I'm going to have to wait for my holy cow moment to happen. But is anyone surprised that Google's chasing AR now?
No.
I'm not.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect
sense.
They
put it in the camera.
And actually, I mean, so I played around. I'm sure you guys did as well. You, Flo, you, Michelle. At I/O, they had the new version of Google Lens on display. And basically what's awesome there.
I did not see that.
Oh, they had it. They had it in one of the sandboxes. And basically one of the new features is this like always scanning mode, which I'm sure doesn't make privacy-minded people very happy.
Okay, besides that.
But basically, instead of having to like point at something, then tap on the screen and wait for it, blah, 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 it's just constantly scanning as you're moving it around. So it's like that true augmented reality experience, right? Like you point it at a shirt, it kind of captures it, and it can give you that shirt as results on the web or shirts that look like it or whatever.
Finally.
Take that and put that into an AR headset where you're like in your space and everything you look at and you're getting context around that. And it would look something like this. I think Ron has officially grown to hate this video.
I never get to see it, so it was cool. An incredible delight for me.
It's pretty great.
Coolest thing ever.
It was a fun moment. I mean, I don't know what's better, is this moment or the fact that it worked its way into George Takei's video about Google Glass.
Yes,
oh, yeah, that's
that was
right.
That was an amazing achievement, Ron. Oh, love
all
it.
All right.
Anyways, blah, blah, blah. So I could totally see this. This makes a lot of sense to me, especially in the discussions of AR versus VR and AR being just a little bit more of an actual
tool. Then they're just going to put it in the classroom. Boom. There you go. Planets in your face.
Planets in your face. Sorry, I'm mulling that over as a title. Let's see here. Tony writes in, sent us an email from sunny London.
LOL. That's rare.
Says, in your roundup of Google I.O. last week, you failed to mention the six new voices for Assistant. Six new voices built using DeepMind's WaveNet technology. This technology allows text-to-speak speech synthesis with just a few hours of training as opposed to a kind of approach. I don't know that word. Used now, which takes hundreds of hours in the recording studio. I have heard of a number of people discuss who they would like as the voice of their assistant. Surely this implies demand for additional voices. Maybe the potential is there for Google to monetize this technology and get other celebrities in the sound booth. It would also be a big differentiator between the Google Assistant and their competitors. Why would someone choose an Echo with a limited set of voices when they could get the Home and install from any number of them? I really think this could have a lot of potential. It would be great to know your opinions on this and also find out which celebrity voice each of you would choose. For the record, I would choose Brian Blessed. Thanks for making an awesome podcast, Tony. P.S. Please don't read this in a British accent. Why did I read that at the end?
Yeah.
Dang it.
No. You don't want to do that because John Oliver did a whole segment about people trying to speak in British accents, and you don't want to end up one of those.
No, I don't want to go there.
It's not good.
So do we want to do a round of what would be the voice that we would choose for our assistant?
So speaking of British accents, and I'll go first. I want Jarvis, Iron Man's Jarvis, Tony Stark's Jarvis.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So you want Paul Bettany?
Yes.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, I do. And I just want to be, like, referred to as Iron Woman.
Hmm, okay.
Or something. Just
Iron Woman?
Just laud me and worship me. There we go. So now you know what I want out of my AI. You?
Oh, boy. It's really hard for me not to choose Samuel L. Jackson. I just think that would be really great.
Kids, if we could, you need to wake up.
Yes, exactly. If we could channel, like, you know, Pulp Fiction era Samuel Jackson or something, that would be awesome with the assistant.
And I will strike down.
And I will wake your children up when you summon me in the morning. Michelle, what do you think? What would be your ideal assistant voice? Yes.
I'm having a hard time deciding between Snoop Dogg, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Morgan Freeman was on
Liam
that.
Liam Neeson.
Oh, Liam.
Oh, Liam Neeson. but in the Taken voice or like in his
Yeah.
It would have to be the
in
Taken
like the Taken voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are good picks. All right, Ron. I'm bracing myself.
I would probably I'm slightly influenced by Tony writing in from the UK that I'd have to say Steve Coogan, but in the Alan Partridge identity. And no one here knows what that is.
No, I was going to say.
It is being Googled.
Yeah. So Steve Coogan is a British actor. And he has a character, Alan Partridge, who's a radio guy.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
So, Alan Partridge.
That's good. That's good.
Interesting to note that we all chose men, male voices.
Well, I didn't want to be the downer on this, but I actually don't agree with Tony's hypothesis. Like, I think this is a big deal. Here's the thing. I agree with him as being a potential differentiator in the market. But I disagree. I played along there, but I don't want a celebrity voice. You know what I mean? Like, I actually like the assistant voice. All those GPSs that let you do Darth Vader and stuff like that. They're just gimmicky to me. I don't know. A bit of a downer, but yeah, I don't know. But
they are a little gimmicky.
Hello, really Mr. I don't like fun.
I mean, do you really need Mr. T to tell you to turn right?
Right.
Maybe. Pit of the Fool doesn't turn right.
You know what, though? But it is Android. And I would like the choice.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if it's a matter of just loading in audio of a certain, you know, of anybody's voice, like anybody could do this potentially if they had the right tool. I don't know if that's a good idea. It's a bad idea.
Imagine if I'm crank calling you in Hugh Grant's voice.
Right. You don't know who you're talking to anymore.
I'm not nodding.
Yeah, never mind. I take it back. This is a really bad idea.
It was fun to imagine.
Yeah, it's a fun road to run down quickly.
All right, then. Why don't we take a pause and thank our last sponsor of the evening. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. And for those of you who have bought a house or an apartment or any sort of property, you know that the mortgage experience really isn't keeping up with the times. It was dated and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. And it's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. What's great about it is it's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And of course, that makes it powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all the home loan options for you for which you qualify and find the one that's just right for you. Let me tell you, I wish I had Rocket Mortgage when I bought a house 10 years ago. I knew nothing about the process and paid the price. I'm sure Rocket Mortgage would have made it a lot easier. So Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Thanks, Rocket Mortgage.
Thank you, Rocket Mortgage. All right, and now we've got some app news to talk about. So we'll do that with you right now.
The big news, if you ask me, this should have been the lead story in the news block there, Jason, but it's good to have it in the apps. There's lots of speculation. We all know that YouTube Music was coming. What is it going to do? What is that going to mean for Google Play Music?
What does it mean, Ron?
Now we know, starting today, YouTube Music Premium started rolling out and re-updating, and it was being updating the YouTube Music app. YouTube Music Premium will be $9.99 and includes ad-free music, background listening, and downloads. YouTube Premium is $11.99 and also includes ad-free video, background video playback, video downloads, and YouTube Originals. So the plan for this is to eventually replace Google Play Premium and YouTube Red. All right, so for all those wondering what happens to Google Play Premium and YouTube Red, the plan is for this is to replace it. It's very confusing. The update will come to the app that's already in the Play Store. So if you have the YouTube Music app, look out for the update. And they rolled out a new video that shows the new design. It's focused on personalized recommendations. Surprise, surprise. You can toggle for turning on or off videos. Maybe you just want music or you just want videos. Who knows? There's the My Mixtape playlist collection built from your repeated listens and favorite artists and related recommendations. And if you – there's a lot of stuff and I just clicked away from it. I'm sorry. If you go to music.youtube.com/coming-soon and enter your email, you get notified when the update is coming your way. It's going to launch initially in the U.S., Mexico, South Korea, Australia, and New Zealand. So it's still pretty limited, and I'm sorry, our friends in Canada. You guys just get screwed all the time. But they're saying a wider international rollout in the coming weeks. And ultimately, the app will opt for the premium audio in cases where an album track and a video track coexists. So it's interesting how they're defining the premium audio aspect. And then the biggest question of all, YouTube Music PM product manager Elias Roman says, quote, to the Google Play Music users out there, nothing will change. You'll still be able to access and add to all of your purchased music, uploads, and playlists in Google Play Music just like always. Went on to further say, if you have access to YouTube Red today, you will continue to enjoy the same benefits at the same price once YouTube Premium becomes available. This includes Google Play Music and Family Plan members. So playlists, collections, preferences will all be preserved and migrated. So really what this means is that the only thing changing is the name and the app.
Yeah, two things to do the one thing. And yeah. I'm pretty sure eventually Play Music actually does go away. I keep hearing and reading things like for now, you know, like that, those little qualifiers and nothing's changing. You know, it's going to stay the same for now, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, okay, so then at some point it goes away. I just don't know how you merge the Play Music, you know, folks working on Play Music and YouTube Music, and there's so much crossover in that silly way that Google does things, and they don't at some point make some big decision between the two. I don't know how you do that.
Yeah,
but
I'm just glad that Google Play Music's not going away. I disagree with you, Jason. I think that they're going to keep it around because I think people just want that. What I'm curious is that I'm in at the $7.99 deal from that, you know, that original one. So will that, I guess that's got to be grandfathered, but yeah. That's, and I have YouTube Red, so that's just going to automatically turn into YouTube Premium.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. So. That's what I'm understanding from the many different places I saw Google on Twitter answering questions from people that were just as confused about this very topic. It sounds like if you have that grandfathered lower price, that's going to continue. It's going to be moved over and you'll just have that. So. It sounds like Flo is saying I don't care because you're Spotify, right?
I just listen
at this point.
This has been confusing from day one, which is why I didn't choose the trajectory. I didn't choose I didn't choose this path because I just didn't trust that it was going to take me anywhere. I didn't trust Google's process.
Here's the problem with Google's process is that messaging, music, payment. Whenever they get something new shiny, they want to rebrand it. And has any brand other than Android stuck around for more than 3 years?
So true, Ron. So true. Michelle, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
It's a gigantic mess. And I'm still trying to comprehend exactly what's being rebranded to what's staying the same and what's not. I mean, I think it's kind of ridiculous that a lot of the news about what would happen to Google Play Music subscribers were finding out through tweets from like the support channel. I would not have seen that unless people had posted that on Reddit and it went all over and then it got reblogged everywhere. So like, why isn't there like a clear explanatory page from Google saying, if you're a current subscriber to Google Play Music, you get this, this, this. If you're a current subscriber to YouTube Red, this happens.
You know, why? I'll tell you why. Because this is targeted at new customers, and existing customers will ask on Twitter and get the answers they want, and will read on Reddit. And it is such a small population that they don't want to confuse and scare away the new customers.
That certainly makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's dumb.
Sure. I never said it was smart.
And I mean, you know, another one of the criticisms that's happening right now is that they're promoting this, their next big move in music streaming. This is we've done it wrong up until this point. Now we're doing it right. Except for the fact that their big, splat push of saying it's available to you is followed up by, if you go to this website and you put in your email and maybe you hear back from us someday in the limited number of markets that we are actually in, someday we'll get back to you and let you know that we're letting you in, even though right now you're excited to get in on it. Like, it just completely deflates it and takes the wind out of the sails. And it's just...
It makes you jump through hoops. Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, Bob.
It hurts.
Which is why I use Spotify.
Well... See, that's the thing. Spotify isn't going around changing their marketing or the name of their service every 2 years because they feel like they need to.
Yeah, and they're also running out of money. So,
well, yeah, you might have to, Flo.
They can't make money for the life of them. So,
that's all right. I still have digitally imported.
For now. All right, Flo. You also have Twitter. An emoji on Twitter.
I do have Twitter and emoji on Twitter. And did you know they're called Twemoji?
Twemoji?
Which means Twitter emoji.
I had no idea.
I knew that for some reason. I don't know how I knew that,
probably,
but I knew
because
that.
Have you been to emojipedia.org?
I have. That's why.
Because that's where they're all labeled. And, well, now if you go to Twitter.com and you're a tweeter
on Twitter,
you will see the Twemoji instead of the standard Android emoji because that's the way Twitter wanted it. They decided this is what they're going to do.
Well, yeah, and it looks like what it's doing is at least providing some sort of support to the people who are pre-Oreo.
So I believe this is part of, oh boy, I don't want to actually misspeak to this. So I've written a couple of articles for Emojipedia. You know, I kind of like delve into this emoji world, but I don't want to say the wrong thing about whether if this has anything to do with Emoji Compat, which was introduced in Oreo to sort of like help.
Mm-hmm.
It was the API that was introduced so that everybody could see emoji regardless of the version of Android that they were on. It hasn't really been implemented worldwide. And by worldwide, I mean like ecosystem wide. But here on Twitter, at least now, even if you're on an older version of Android, if you're pre-Oreo, you will have all the gaps filled in for you. So instead of seeing the blank spaces, you will see the cutesy little Twemoji.
Yeah.
Which is good, because then you'll know what the heck your friends are saying on the internet.
You mean they're not saying square with an X through it? That's not like what they're actually saying?
I mean, if you're trying to depict a black hole, that's a good way to do it.
Okay.
It's just put a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. Yes. By the way, my computer crashed in the middle of filming the show. My Chromebook crashed. So
we're having bad luck with Chromebooks today.
those changes are rolling out today. Just in case you're wondering why I'm on my phone now.
Dude, get off your phone. You need some well-being features.
You can toggle this off, by the way.
Yeah.
If you do not want to see Twemoji. It's fine. You can see the Android ones. You just go into the settings on your Android device.
Yeah.
Which is what I have here in my hand.
Yes, and will for the rest of the show. And finally, Google Photos is apparently getting some new features.
Is it happening?
What?
Is it finally happening?
What?
The fences?
No. Oh, no. That feature is never coming.
I feel like we've been forgotten about. Like, it doesn't matter.
Removing the fences from the foreground so you can see the background.
It's never happening.
That's never happening.
Nope.
It made a really good onstage demo 2 years ago.
It was so fun.
It's never happening. But no, Google Photos is getting some other amazing features. Things like favoriting your photos.
Cool.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Cool.
You can star photos in your library, and those will automatically appear in an album of your favorites. And then you can heart the photos that appear in your album that were shared with you. And I think that's just to let the person that shared it with you know that you liked it.
But if it's a picture of a fence with a beautiful beautiful landscape behind it, or perhaps your child playing Little League because they usually put you behind a fence, it's not happening.
Nope. Happening. You don't get that. Not yet.
Never leaving you.
I'm pretty convinced there must be a reason, because when you show something off on the stage, they don't just be like, oh, well, let's not do that. Then.
Well,
Michelle, what do you?
We did talk to the Google Photos team about that, and they said that they deprioritized it, is what they told us. And according to 9to5 Google, they said that there were some major problems with the feature, which is why it never rolled out.
What?
So publicly they told us it was deprioritized. Privately, 9to5 Google says that it had some major problems. So we don't exactly know when or if it'll roll out at all. It's certainly a feature that a lot of people definitely want to see, though.
Yeah, I mean, it made for a really good demonstration.
We need to start putting a disclaimer for these things before we cover them. Because seriously... I feel like we need to just be realistic. Like, what happens at Google I.O. does not happen in the real world.
You got your hopes up.
It's true. Well, we saw that from the duplex demo too, right?
Yes.
I'm actually thinking about that in the back of my mind as I'm mentioning these things.
To be fair to Google Photos, all the stuff they did announce this year, like the color pop, automatic sharing, the document stuff, like automatic creating a document, that stuff has started to roll out already. So
yeah, but it's like obvious stuff.
Certainly not as bad as last year. Yeah.
That's like obviously you would be coming out with a take a picture and turn it into a document feature, and with a like color. I don't know. It just feels so obvious. The fence thing is like.
It's not fence removal. That's for sure.
I mean, listen, if Photoshop can do it, just saying. Balls in your court, Googs.
Yeah, we get to a point to where Google Photos can do everything that Photoshop can
do. Call your friends at Adobe and be like, how do you guys do that? Can we borrow it from you and then figure
Adobe,
something out together?
It's Google.
It can't be that
you
hard.
Work in the same like 20-mile perimeter. Come on. Just walk over there. Jeez.
Show us how easy it is, Google.
All right,
Ron.
One last email before we get to the arena?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, this email comes in from Damon, who says, I decided to come back to Android. Welcome back, Damon.
Welcome back.
We missed you.
Welcome.
I currently use an iPhone X. I am getting a Pixel 2 XL and will use Google Fi. I have been iOS. Damon, he embraced iOS and became it. I've been on iOS since 2008, except in 2016 when I used the OnePlus 3. I liked the OnePlus 3 and would have stayed with it, but Android messaging drives me nuts. I used it for 6 months before switching back to the iPhone. I'm going to give Android another shot and we'll commit to at least a year this time. We'll see if I can get past the messaging issue this time. Damon, wish you the best of luck, buddy. You can hold on for a year. I think messaging is better since you've been back. I don't know why. Just get a good messaging app. Use WhatsApp. You know, find some data-based messaging app as opposed to SMS, and then you'll be fine. So there you go. Yay, Damon.
Yay. It's good to have you back, even if it is for a short period of time. We hope it'll be longer this time.
I wish I could be like, oh, the messaging thing is all fixed. Yes, but we know it's not.
I'm curious to know why now was the right time, because messaging is definitely not fixed. But I don't know. Maybe it's fixed enough. I guess we'll see. Let us know in 6 months if you're still with us.
I do got to admit that if you're looking for an SMS client, I still recommend Textra. That is my choice. So, but stay tuned to the arena. I've got an interesting messaging app for you to look at there.
Yes,
so,
you do. Yes. Oh, and we might have
nice
some work
tease.
To do there. All right. And with that, it's time for the arena. Why not?
So many enter, but only one lives.
Did you say only one lives?
Only one yes. lives. What do you think so happens?
I should have died like 100 times over by now.
So many will enter, but only one lives.
That's right. It's true. We're all still living. It's the apps that die.
Thank poor apps. Goodness.
poor applications. Okay, twit.to/AAA poll 369 was where you went last week to place your vote. And the winner last week is Nate.
I'm shocked.
Track your subscriptions comes in first. Ron, very good. That was 32% of the vote. Second place, Relive. That was my app that kind of gives you the 3D kind of map view of your run or your cycling or whatever. That's 28%. Third place is Crash of Cars at 25%. That was Mike's. And then fourth place, Figment AR was your app, Flo.
Wow, you guys really didn't like that. Jeez, ouch.
Amazing.
I think they just all have Pixel phones, and they're like, yeah, what? I
got it. That's what it is. So with those results through 20 weeks, we are now 20 weeks through the year, folks. Get freaked out. Flo, you are currently in last place with 37 points. Whoa. Jason, you are in second place with 42 points. The guests fall to second place with 55 points. And I'm sitting pretty in first place with 56 points.
He says he's sitting pretty.
Sitting pretty.
Sitting pretty.
Listen, all I got to say is as much of a run as this has been, I'm just going to crash towards the end of the year, right? Like it's a streak. That's all. I'm hot now. I won't be in September. You'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. If there's one thing we know about this scoring mechanism, anything can happen.
Anybody's game. But thank you to Wade County in the chat room for keeping track of this. You're amazing.
So. Absolutely appreciate it.
Always and forever.
And Flo, you are up first.
All right. Let me clean some things over here.
I should probably get to cleaning the OnePlus 6 also.
That's why I wear these giant sweaters. So there's just one giant cleaning surface. Thing. Ooh, surface. There we go. By the way, I got my Chromebook back on. It decided it needed to update in the middle of the show.
Welcome back, Chromebook.
So, all right. Here we go. So we've been talking about wellness for the last couple of weeks because Google really made a big deal about it at Google I.O. And, you know, it's becoming a part of Android P. Well, Flo was looking for some wellness help. And, you know, I was reading TechCrunch, a little blog you might know about. And I saw this app, Siempo. It's a launcher. And I think it's for iOS as well. It's a launcher for Android. Hello. Hello. And this is all that it is. So as you can see, this is a launcher and there's nothing on my screen except for this right here. And this right here is my intention right now. And my intention is to stay present and to be here on the show that is all about Android. And when I change my intention, I can change it very easily. So earlier today, it said, get your edits done and send emails, because that's what I had to do today. And I did it. The nice thing about this is, okay, so you've got your launcher here. All right. Look at that. You've got apps. But these aren't the only apps that you need. So what you can do is you can go in and you can configure these apps specially. So this is my Maps app, which of course launches Google Maps. Here's my podcasting app, which launches Pocket Casts. This is my little ride sharing app. It launches Lyft when I need it. Let's say, you know, I'm out in the city and I need a ride. And then when I hit the home button, I'm back here to this launcher. Very nice. Right? Right. Go over here and you've got your settings. That's it. It's just a very plain screen. And the idea is that it's supposed to be very distraction free. Hence the lack of graphics. Hence, you know, the lack of anything fancy. Here we go. We've got the flagged apps. Now, these are the apps that I absolutely cannot have bothering me, which are YouTube, Instagram, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp. I can't be going and tending to my garden during the day because I will stay and do that, you know, as Michelle was saying earlier, for an hour instead of the 10 minutes that I meant to do it. Can't do Snapchat, can't do Instagram. So all these apps just remain here quiet and dormant. Aww. They don't bother me. I don't get notifications from them, which is really nice because I subscribe to a lot of Instagram feeds, so it can get pretty noisy in there. And of course, if I need any of the basic functionalities of my phone, they're just right down here. And all of this is set up from, I hope this does the right thing. Yes, the settings app. Where did it, so when it onboards you, here we go. I think it's in here. Yeah. So when it onboards you, it will actually have you set your defaults for your apps. So not everything is chosen for you. If you have more than one messaging app, for instance, you'll have to select that yourself. By the way, my messaging app is Android Messages. You can customize a couple of things like app menus and notifications, apps that are allowed to interrupt you. You know, maybe if you use Slack at work and you're like, okay, I'll let Slack through. I let Slack through. It's not too bad.
You'll cut Slack some slack.
I cut Slack some slack. Yes. Which, by the way, is sponsor on this network.
Yes.
Yes. And you can do, you do have to sign in with your email though, which might make some people feel weird, but you know, it's not really, they say they'll never email you. So really, it's just a simple home screen. And if you don't want it anymore, if you need to go out and play, all you have to do is go back into your Android settings and select the Pixel launcher again, or whatever launcher you have on your phone. So I'm gonna, you know, I'm really sold on this right now because I had it on all day and I had my phone on my bed the whole day. I just didn't touch it. The only notifications I got were on my computers, which is work time. So,
nice.
There you go.
Nice. I like that the very French just says the name of the show.
Well, that's because that's what I wrote. That's my intention right now. All about Android.
So then, so that is so that if you pick up your phone thinking I'm going to use it, you see that and you go,
and you're like, oh, that's right.
That's what I'm supposed
now,
to be doing.
If
right
I do,
now,
if I do need to get to an app because, like, for instance, I had to load up Ron's app so we can test it out later, right. I can just go in here and type in the thing that I need. You know, I went into the car, so I typed in Android Auto and, you know, loaded it up. Android Auto ran fine on top of this launcher, no problem. And I went back to it and it was back to the screen.
Nice.
Yeah. So, just.
Siembo.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, also, cool. By the way, if you saw the way that those apps are kind of scrambled all over, that's called app scrambling because it's supposed to keep you from memorizing your home screen so that you don't want to go back and like instinctually like poke around.
Interesting.
Just FYI. Learning some things.
So it's trying to throw you off.
It randomizes the location of any distracting apps to kind of prevent the unconscious opening and closing.
Nice.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's pretty cool.
So that is called Siempo, and it is free.
And it's beta, by the way. So
it's a beta Siempo. Check it out and get less distraction in your life. Cool stuff. All right, my app is actually one I had to dive into the tool to make sure that it hadn't been done before because I've actually liked this app for a long time. And I figured right now is a good time to talk about it because we're right near this transition into summertime when everybody starts taking road trips and they hit the road. And what happens when you hit the road on a road trip? You pay for gas. Sometimes you pay a lot for gas and you wish that you had like a brain that was dedicated to finding cheaper gas, maybe a gas buddy of some sort. And that's why my app is called Gas Buddy, which kind of sounds funny, but it's actually a really great app. So basically, what is Gas Buddy? This is an app that you can kind of log into, and I mean, it's pretty much what it sounds like. You can find the gas that's nearest you, and you can filter through it in a way that shows you the cheapest gas that is close by. You can actually filter based on straight up price, which if I do that, Costco always has the cheapest gas around here. But Costco's also, you know, 6 miles away. Let's say I got to get on the freeway to go to Costco. So I might want to stay in town, and that's a good alternate. What is that? The difference? It's $3.74 to $3.97. $3.97 if I don't want to drive a measly 6 miles, which now when I put it like that, why do I ever shop for gas here in town? But anyways, this is it's community driven as well. So if I go into this Valero station, which is actually where I get my gas, because it always seems to be the cheapest here in town.
It's made here.
Yes, that's why. It's from the grounds of Petaluma has taken that oil. So you've got all the prices. You can report on the prices. So if you get there and you see that the price is that way and you want to contribute to the community, you can actually tap in there and say, yes, it is that. Or you can report what the price actually is, and that allows it to surface for other people. Some gas stations give you a cheaper rate if you pay with cash. This gas station does not do that, but some do, and there's a little toggle switch that will show you the cash prices. You can also, you know, go in there and kind of write up, you know, about the actual place itself. Write a review of your gas station.
Bathroom's clean.
Hey, you know, when you're filling up on gas, you're just standing there next to your car. You might as well help someone
These are
out of the process.
Important facts.
Here, I'll go ahead and
varieties heart. Of M&Ms available. 12.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I've added this station to my favorites. See, even this app has a heart in it. And then, you know, you've got all the different gas stations that are close by, what they are rated at, and when they were, which is an important distinction, right? One day ago, this Chevron was showing $3.99. That could be different today. 17 hours ago, this Shell was reporting at $4.09 to start. So that's probably up to date. Anyways, you kind of catch my drift on this. While you're driving, you can go out and let's see here. While you're driving, you can pull up a map, and the map will actually show you on your route where the nearest gas stations are. That's my profile. That's not where I meant to go. But you can find it on a map and essentially have an idea of like what's closest to where you are. And actually the price is embedded into the map. If I wanted to search here, I can just move it and it will show me the different gas stations that appear. Gas Buddy, it's just kind of a cool app to take with you. Have it loaded up on your phone for when you're doing, going out on a road trip of some sort. And they have some other features. There's like a way to use the accelerometer in your phone to track when you're accelerating too fast or when you're applying your brakes too fast in an effort to like help train you to drive in a more gas efficient sort of way. Because when you do those things, you can burn through gas a little bit quicker. But, you know, if what you're actually looking for is to find the nearest gas station that has a good price on gas, this is a good tool to do it. And warning in the chat room, it's definitely worth heeding to, which is the fact that you don't want to be using this while you're actually driving. It's probably good to pull it up and find it before you actually hit the road so that you're not, you know, touching your phone while you're driving, which is probably a very bad idea. At least in California, it'll get you a very hefty ticket, if not into an accident. So don't do that. But it's a good app to load up nonetheless before you hit the road. So there you go, Gas Buddy, and it is free. And there you go. That's all I have. All right, Michelle, I have your app loaded up here. I'm going to activate it. I have it all installed. I went through the process. So tell us a little bit about this app and why it's close to your heart, and I think I know why.
Yeah, so it's near and dear to my heart, obviously, because I helped create the app. We just announced the app on Saturday, and we've already received 90,000 installs in the Play Store.
Dang.
Like, wow. Over 500 wow.
comments on Reddit. I've been going through 487 emails. And this is just 3 days. Over 200 YouTube comments. It's just insane. We've barely been able to keep up. I think I just cleared out my inbox this morning.
Nice. And, congrats.
Yeah. So the idea of the app is pretty simple. We're just bringing gesture controls to almost any Android device. But there are other apps on the Play Store that do what we do, but the unique aspect of this app is that we figured out a way to completely hide the stock software navigation bar so that you can actually use this gesture pill on the bottom, as you can see down there. So you see enabled, disabled, and you can replace your navigation bar with the gesture pill. You could swipe left, swipe up, swipe right. You can customize the actions you do with it. So if you don't like the navigation bar and you want to use gestures, then here's your app.
I feel like swipe up needs to be home. Every time I swipe up, I keep thinking it's going to go home.
So yeah, it's totally up to you what you want to do.
There we go.
And if you want to make it bigger or smaller, you can certainly customize that too. And we've gotten so much feedback about features people want to add. Like they want to add transparency to it. They want us to be able to move the horizontal position. They want us to be able to add coloring to the bar. They want us to be able to add more actions like locking the screen or launching an app. And we've gotten probably like 100 of these requests all saying the same thing. So we're definitely going to be adding these features. But of course, we've gotten so many emails that we got to figure out. We've kind of taken like a step back. We need like a day to just, wow, we need to organize ourselves and decide what we're going to tackle first. Because if we don't plan this properly, then we're going to be running like headless chickens.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. Well, congratulations. Did you expect that it would happen like that? Like, I mean, it's not like XDA is some unknown site. I mean, just the visitors to the site alone, obviously they're going to get excited about something like this. But is this above and beyond what you thought was going to happen when you released it?
I definitely knew this had broader appeal than the last app that we created, which was one-handed mode. But I did not expect this level of response. It was way more than I anticipated. I thought, you know, it'd be a little popular with our readers, but I didn't expect it to get reached number one personalization on the trending personalization on the Play Store.
Nice.
Like I didn't expect to get that kind of achievement just on like the first day of our app release.
One thing that you can do here that I think a lot of people, like shortly after Google showed off the new Android P gestures, you know, one of the things that I saw pretty soon after was, you know, I can't remember who wrote it up, but someone on Twitter wrote up their idea for how to improve it. And it included removing the back button and then making it so that swiping back on the pill actually took you back instead, right? So that you can kind of navigate. And actually with this, you can do that. You can set it up so that a swipe left goes back. And that's kind of the way it is right now. There is no back button here. So that's just how you go back based on it, the kind of the default setting here. And so then I have to ask also, so obviously this has been in the works for a while. The timing is impeccable because of the Android P gesture features. Is that coincidental? Like, I have to imagine, like, I don't know whether you knew or didn't know that Google was coming out with gesture stuff, but had you started working on this before there were rumors that there was gesture support coming to Android P?
No.
Okay.
It's definitely not coincidental. We definitely, what's coincidental is figuring out a way to make this viable. We figured that out after the first rumors started to come out that Android P would have gesture navigation. And then like a day later, we figured out a way to make it viable with older devices. So we thought, okay, we're going to sit down and we're going to invest a lot of time to try to get this to a semi working state that we can release it in. And obviously testing it on like thousands of devices is like impossible. And the API that we're using isn't exactly meant for this kind of purpose, so it's behaving a little unexpectedly on some devices like the LG G6 or like the new Asus Zenfone Max Pro M1. So we're like trying to fix some of the kinks that some users are experiencing, but for most users, the support has been overwhelming. Most people are pretty happy with it so far. They're asking for new features, and we're definitely working on that. So I kind of wish the launch went a little more smoothly, so we could we wouldn't get so many of the same feature requests. But I definitely think we have a lot of expectations to meet now.
Well, that's not a bad thing. That just shows that you have a lot of people watching and a lot of support for what you've created, and that's awesome. Congratulations. A lot of people would love to have that kind of pickup on their app right out of the gate. That's amazing. And placement in the Play Store. You lucked out there as well. So the app is called Navigation Gestures. Now there's a free version, and then did I see that there's a 99 cent in-app purchase for kind of expanded features? Is that right?
Well, it's not an in-app purchase. It's a separate like premium add-on. Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Awesome. The premium version just adds extra actions that you can trigger with the swipe gesture. Right now, the basic one lets you do like back, home, recents, last app. So anything that you could do previously with your navigation bar. The premium version lets you do things like pull down the notifications, open the power menu, skip to the next track, previous track, or play and pause. Nice. Things that you normally can't do on the navigation bar.
Great. Awesome. Good work. Fantastic. It's Navigation Gestures. Great stuff. All right. Now, Ron.
Yes.
Returning winner. You've got to follow up your win last week. Tell us about your app.
So this one's a little out there. And again, I feel like I've done this a couple of times this year so far with like the security privacy based apps. We're talking about messaging. If you're a journalist, if you're an activist, if you are just someone who really wants to keep your messaging private, it looks like there's a open software project that recently came out called Briar, which is up your alley. Briar is a free messaging app that is leave it on that, and we got an interactive demo, but I'll let me talk it through first. Briar doesn't rely on a central server. So basically, messages are not sent like normally, like WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger or other things that we know go up. You know, I send it to Jason, it goes up to a centralized server and then sends it down to Jason. That's how it works. Briar allows you to connect directly with people in person and set up your point of contact list and then be able to maintain connection by syncing with other contacts that are within your location area, either via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, or in case you need to go to through the internet, you can route it through Tor. So we're talking completely decentralized, completely private. So we'll go back to Jason. Jason and Flo, you guys are going to demo how one connects to one another in Briar. So Jason, you're going to hit the plus button to add a contact. And here we see that you got to let Briar access your
Flo.
Phone.
There's
Flo. And so what happens is that you're going to scan Flo's QR code and you're going to connect to her device. And Flo should get the same kind of message back to her.
I see. Now you got to scan. Yep. Got it.
Yeah. Now she's got to scan yours.
There we go. It was quick. Look how quick that was.
Yep. All right.
Flosif.
So Jason, if you can move the phone down a little, there we go. So there's Flosif. And so now when you message directly, if you start a new message, you can say, hey, Flo, this is going direct point to point to each other's phone. Currently right now it's being connected via Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. If you were to separate, you can go through the internet via Tor, which is crazy. So
wow.
There you go. Yeah. What's really interesting is that you don't need the internet for this. Right? If for some reason the internet goes down, but you still have Wi-Fi in a building, you can still connect with one another via Wi-Fi. Yeah. So Briar, ultra secure, decentralized messaging. It just actually it launched on our birthday. It launched on May 9th, version 1.0. And if you go to briarproject.org, you can read all about how it works and specifically the technology behind it. And it was, it was launched with support from the Open Technology Fund, which is, promoting internet freedom and all that sort of stuff. So this is an interesting start to that decentralized messaging. So there you go.
Are those old Android emoji?
They might be. It's version 1.0. Jason, if you back out a little, I know talking to Flosif is exciting.
It is.
if you tap on the hamburger menu and you in addition to contacts, you can start private groups. So if you have a whole bunch of – if there's a group of people that you want to get together, you can. But there's also privatized forums that if you want to become a member. And this is really great for, like we said, for journalists and things like that, you know, who are creating kind of Slack-esque groups where they're talking, but completely decentralized. So and then finally, if you go up to the settings, you can specify what to do when you connect via Bluetooth. Do you connect via Bluetooth only for adding contacts or for when you're nearby to a contact to make that connection? And also when do you connect to Tor? This is really interesting. There's the panic button set up. And I guess there are panic button apps that when you hit a panic button, it does a bunch of certain things. And so, yeah, so this, if you, Ripple is the one with the Guardian project where I guess you're, if you're in a situation your phone's going to be confiscated, you press that button. This is maybe this is for another arena of another time.
I know. I you guys are giving away another good app.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. But so you can configure what Briar will do in the case of the panic button app working. You can say sign out, delete my account, or uninstall the app. So it completely can erase any imprint of the app being on there once you hit that panic button.
Wow.
App. It's crazy. I'm very thankful I don't live in a world or work in an industry where I need to worry about this stuff. Knock on wood. I'm very thankful for that. But so if you go back from the panic button setup, then there's just some more about you can control your notifications and that sort of thing. So really, you know, really nice, simple, lightweight first version app that's really focused on privacy. So Briar, check it out.
That's awesome. Great pick.
They go into a lot of detail on their site about their platform and their core, you know, their stack and how the messaging works and all that sort of stuff. And they, you know, all the developers are available to talk to if you're curious about it. Like, they're really being transparent.
Well, yeah, you know, it's open source. It's it's listed on the F-Droid site, which is, you know, free and open source software. So that's going to make people happy as well. Cool. So that is Briar. We got some good competition in the arena this week.
It's intense.
Yes, it is. Twit.to/AAAPoll370. Twit.to/AAAPoll370. Place your vote for your favorite app. Is it Siempo, Gas Buddy, Navigation Gestures, or Briar? Victor will hover his pointy
finger. Where's he going? I think he's going Gas Buddy.
Briar.
Briar. Wow.
Victor needs very... very secretive messaging.
Or just it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely sounds cool.
Yeah. All right. We'll check in on that next week when there are more than five votes, which is all that's happened since we posted that. Guaranteed it goes all over the map. And we'll check back in and see if Michelle, if your premiere appearance into the arena was a success. I have a good feeling about your app in the arena. And I mean, aside from your awesome app, and congratulations again for that, Michelle, we really appreciate you taking time out of your Tuesday evening to join us on the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, it was great being here. I'm sorry for all the connection problems.
You don't need to worry about that.
It would be better than it ended up being.
No, it's all good.
Thankfully, Pixel 2 on Project Fi saved the day.
It's interesting, though, that sometimes the mobile networks are more, you know, stable.
I feel like that's a common thread. Because, see, my Chromebook went down. What did I do? I ran into my Pixel.
Yeah, I know. The Pixel's always there to catch you when you fall. Isn't that true?
Wind beneath my
wings. Your wings. Michelle Rahman, xda-developers.com. Michelle, where do you want people to follow the work that you're doing online specifically?
Well, you could always follow my author page, but I'm also trying to, you know, get my content more recognized through my Twitter account, which is mentioned below. So definitely follow me if you want to see the latest news about stuff I find in the Android open source project or Chrome. I do post random things that I find all over the internet. I try not to spam your inbox, so don't worry about following me. You're not going to see random inclinations of what I'm feeling throughout the day. I'm only going to post about Android stuff usually. So
it's not going to be the Sanders thing for lunch. Nothing like that.
Wow. You should not go to my Twitter account then, my
friend. It's true. I can confirm. Yeah. I love Ron's Twitter feed, even though I learn a lot of very tangential stuff about Ron.
Not a lot of Android content there.
Well, Michelle, we really appreciate it. Thank you again. And we'll be following your work on XDA, and we'd love to have you back sometime. And if you happen to be in the area, just let us know. We'll bring you up to the studio. And thank you for that. And then Flo, what about you?
Me?
Yeah, you. You.
Hey, guess what? Did you hear?
No.
That Megan Maroney and I are going to do some stuff together.
I heard.
So I was told I am allowed to talk about it. So I'm going to mention it, that Megan Maroney and I will be doing 12 weeks of know-how together.
Nice.
Cool.
Which is going to be very exciting. And we're going to be doing it on What Else Is a Smart Home?
Yeah.
So if you've got any smart home things tinkering around in your head, you know how to contact me, florencelion.com.
That makes too much sense.
I have a contact form there for you to contact me if you have any questions about that.
So smart home, IoT, that all that kind of
yeah.
stuff?
Yes.
Nice.
And I'm still pouring through some Android questions as well that I've received. I'm just, you know, trying to get through the work I owe people before I work
understand.
On my website.
I understand. Right on.
Hashtag congrats. Freelance life.
That's awesome. Looking yes. forward to that. That'll be great. And then what about you, Ron? Any big news?
Just more nonsense on Twitter. Okay. That's all. You can go to, I just pinned a tweet to my profile. It was very exciting. You can go to twitter.com/RonXO, where I don't post often. It's, if anything, it's just random. Yeah, you see, I just pinned that tweet from yesterday. I posted that when Slack was down. I'm so funny. Internet memes all the time. Anyway, sometimes there's some stuff in there. You see me rooting for the Mets and talking about music and baseball. But go there. You follow me on Instagram at RonXO. Just working on stuff. It's going to be a long, long, busy summer. But that's all. I got nothing. I'm tired.
Awesome. Okay, we'll get you into bed. We'll tuck you in here in a second. Victor, thank you, sir, as always.
No problem. I really meant it about getting some of those red hydrogen. So
okay, well, you know, if you got the dough to back that up, or you can convince somebody with dough to back that up, then I'm all for it. We could do an experimental episode and see what we come up with
on it.
Excellent. That's why I love you, Victor. Thank you for helping us out on this show each and every week. As for me, I do shows all across the Twit Network, of course, and you can find me on Twitter at Jason Howell. I should just mention that the album that I keep talking about, I'm sorry if you're sick of hearing about it, but it's actually now available to everyone. It's on Spotify. It's on Tidal, so Ron would be happy.
Nice.
It's on Tidal.
High quality.
It's basically everywhere. Working with a distributor.
Did you do that? I was just going to say, did you do that yourself, or you went through like a CD Baby or something like that?
Well, right? So there's a company called DistroKid, and I'm really cool. trying to get Philip Kaplan is the guy that runs it, and he's also responsible for that site way back when called Eft Company.
A friend of mine went to his wedding.
Oh,
yeah. I'm tangentially connected.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe we'll talk. But I would love to get him on for an interview because around kind of like music distribution in the internet age. But yeah, his site is awesome. His service is awesome, and that's what I use. But if you're on any of the streaming services, you can find it. Look for Yellow Gold. The album is called Fever Dreamer. And you don't have to wait anymore. If you were waiting or whatever, you don't have to because it's in all those places and a whole lot more. And
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. Yeah. It took me a long time, and I'm happy that I'm finally at this stage, which is the looking at it in the rearview mirror stage. But anyways, that's it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Android Show. Our Arena apps list has every app that we've ever covered in the arena. It's twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. You can come watch us live in the studio. Tickets at twit.tv. We have John from Utah who is sitting in the studio right now, making us feel super important while his son is at the guitar store shopping for guitars, which I completely understand. I would be at the guitar store too if... You know, the guitar store here is really cool. So anyways, thank you for coming to sit in the studios. You can do that too. Tickets at twit.tv or just catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. See you later.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Michelle, I didn't prepare you for this, and I apologize, but at the before we start the show, we always start with a little Oreo cookie tasting. I doubt that you have this. Maybe you have this flavor because it is out in stores right now. This is the Pina Colada Oreo.
Yes. So, I was getting some real summer vibes today, so I'm really actually looking forward to this.
Well, Michelle, you've never seen it before. We're going to let you know.
Well, here's why you've never seen it before is because there's there's currently the My Oreo Creation promotion that's going on right now, where Oreo has released three flavors that you can vote for at the website. I don't even know. MyOreoCreation.com.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that.
Oh yeah, here goes. I'm sorry. It's MyOreoCreationContest.com.
Okay.
Or you can text. You can text vote to 595-59526. They're not even paying us for this, by the way.
That doesn't even look like an official Twitter.
Wow, that looks like somebody really...
I'm pretty sure that's a pretend one.
So, fun fact for the listening audience, before we get to the Pina Colada one, the creator of the last week's flavor, Cherry Cola, somehow found her way into our Twitter conversation about the flavor.
It's true. Up at the very top of the dock, Victor, in the orange section, is this tweet from Eden Falwell. Will Seiler on Twitter added all three of us and said, as one who raised the flag to Jason about this trio of Oreo flavors, I agree that the Cherry Cola is awful. They are improved a little by the addition of milk. We've toyed with the idea of blending vanilla ice cream so it's like a Cherry Coke float. To which Eden Falwell replies, ooh, tell me how that turns out. I may try it myself. I created that flavor.
Winky emoji. Rocket emoji, cherry emoji, cola emoji, heart emoji, hashtag cherry cola Oreo, hashtag my Oreo creation.
And it turns out if you actually click through to her profile, I mean, it is blanketed. She obviously
created this flavor. I think she's contractually obligated to have a Twitter account.
This is her moment. If you met her, she'd be like, I invented the cherry cola Oreo.
Totally. Hey, I mean, you could be the one that created an Oreo flavor.
Yeah, there aren't many people that have done that. I don't have an Oreo at the grocery store. Every time you go to the grocery store, you go, I created that.
So with all due respect, Eden, we appreciate that you have accomplished so much that we have not accomplished.
We really haven't.
At the same time, we didn't really care for the flavor. But anyway,
I'm just really glad she didn't track it back to the episode. Like, Will never mentioned the show or any of that. So, like, I'm glad that Eden is still somewhat ignorant to what's really going on here at the moment.
Yeah, I think that ends tonight, though, Ron. That's the problem.
Yeah, it does.
We've shown a light on it. Anyway, so that's one of three flavors in this contest. So that's why some of these flavors are a little strange. I would say this one, tonight's pick, is the least strange of the three. It's Pina Colada Oreo Thins, which in and of itself might not make a whole lot of sense, except it's with the white cookie. It's with
there
the vanilla cookie.
There are coconut Oreo Thins.
Right.
Now, yeah, a couple of thoughts here. This is the one I've been waiting for. This is the one I'm most excited about of these three new flavors, the third being kettle corn, which is still I have, but Jason doesn't have, ironically.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I'll have to pick it up.
Considering you sent it to me, which is weird.
Because Flo brought that in. So I sent you the one that Flo brought in. I forgot that when I went to the store to pick these up, that I couldn't find that one there. So that's what.
So I love pina colada as a drink, but I'm concerned that these are thins.
If you like pina coladas.
And they smell more like vanilla cookie than they do pina colada.
Okay, so, I'm going to pass the mic or pass the cookie.
Pass the cookie on the left hand side.
So apparently, before we take a bite, on the box it does say pineapple and coconut flavored cream.
Pineapple
and coconut flavored.
Okay.
And Flo's already gone into it.
I'm going to go ahead.
You're smelling. All right, here we go.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of has a little chemical smell.
They smell like sunscreen, edible.
Yeah,
sunscreen.
It does smell like sunscreen.
Take a bite. Trust me. Take a bite. It tastes like sunscreen, but like in a good way.
Right? You're selling it.
Wow, these are really coconut. Like, well, Ron hang is on, right.
According to the website, it is a combination of coconut and pineapple flavored cream that delivers a tropical getaway experience.
It's true.
And yes, Oreo, you have delivered a tropical getaway experience. This is amazing.
It's amazing, really good. Huh? It's really good. And I don't like coconut. Oh, it's really good.
Michelle, if you had to guess, would you guess good or bad based on the description prior to us eating it?
Well, I personally love pina coladas, so I would really be interested in trying that out sometime.
Well, lucky for you, you can. You can find it in any store pretty much. They're everywhere right now. Okay, so
I'm having a second.
Oh, wow. That's high praise. Okay, Ron, you're having a second. So
Ron
we'll ask
not
you
getting
first.
Rid of this bag.
What is your score, 1 to 10 or 0 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 7.
That's it?
And I give it a 7 because I give it a 7 because I don't like the thins.
Oh.
Oh.
Right? I would like a little more substantial cookie. And I get the feeling that right now it's good, but after like 8 of these, it's going to be like, oh.
Although even 8 of like original Oreos, I hit that point.
Wrong.
I totally
wrong.
Do.
No, you've never had a whole sleeve to yourself?
I have. I'm just saying at that point, I'm like, oh,
what?
This is a bad idea, even though it's really good. What do you think? What's your score?
I'm giving them an 8. They really took me to a tropical paradise, and I really felt like I was sharing a pina colada at a tiki bar with my friends and laughing about the good times.
Wow, I want to go where you're going.
I desperately want to go there, that's why.
I think it's better than the soda. I wouldn't necessarily buy them for myself. I'd give it a 6. I'm a little bit lower than you guys.
I'd buy these again.
Yeah. Burke believes that thins was the appropriate choice for this flavor.
And these would go really well with a Mai Tai or a passion fruit LaCroix.
Or a pina colada.
Mm-hmm. Or a pina colada. No.
Well, Flo, I want you to have 5 of these and revisit your score. Because I'm on 3 and I'm already like...
I mean, should I do it? But then I have to have 5 of them.
Well, they'll be out there unless they're such a popular choice that they are all eaten by the time we're done with the show.
We'll see.
All right. With that, Michelle, you know what you need to get at the store tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Let us know how it goes.
I'll let you know how I rate it tomorrow.
All right.
Listen, and, we're really missing out on some of this Nabisco dollars, by the way. We're just giving
no
Oreo
kidding.
Just free. Like,
this has just turned into a marketing
campaign.
Okay,
I have to be honest, and this is extremely TMI, but I had to burp a little bit, and it was overwhelming. Pina colada.
It's almost like you drank a pina colada.
Yes.
Okay, but that's not a bad thing.
I wasn't expecting that.
Pina colada burps aren't bad.
Under the pineapple and coconut flavored cream, it says artificially flavored.
Yeah.
And that's where they get you.
I mean, that's...
It's not real.
We know that, right? Oreos, they're artificially flavored. Like, that's just...
Life is artificially flavored when you think about it.
There is much in life that is artificially
so
flavored.
So all that remains of this trio is kettle corn. I'm ready.
Okay.
You guys
should
have homework.
Should I bring real kettle corn in?
So
we can...
I mean, that's probably better, but we got to stick to the plan. So I'll go ahead and pick up the package. We'll do that next week. We'll have all 3 flavors in a row, and we'll go from there.